Yes, it's Talking Travel with Sally Lucas. You were looking a bit like you were struggling there for a minute.
Get those headphones and the glasses and the chain on the glasses and your
That's
earrings
right, yeah.
and your scarf and it all gets
tangled
up.
So where are we going today?
Well, we did warm climbs last week, so I'm going to do cold climbs in keeping with the season, both here and overseas, if you're thinking of like doing the White Christmas thing as well, which of course is our summer. So we're going to still be talking about things in our summer, but not here.
Right.
So cold seasons everywhere today.
Sounds good. At the moment we're talking about Australian and New Zealand snowfields.
Yes, well, I thought the time is ripe for that, isn't it? The sort of weather we've been having, and
that's right.
You almost feel like it could be snowing.
Mm.
So, yeah, a few new things, basically, I guess, is why I'm talking about these areas. And firstly, is Perisher. They've got a brand new chairlift, so which is going to be really fantastic. It's a six chairlift run, they're saying it, and it will open depending on snow, of course, as usual, but it's high tech. It's six seater. Is it $26 million it costs them to build this? It can carry 60% more riders up the hill in just under half the time as the old chairlift, and it's been custom built for Australian conditions with only 10 towers along the way, whereas the old chairlift had 27 towers, which means you're getting rid of some obstacles.
Right.
For your skiers as well. So that's going to open up the mountain, giving the the skiers more room to move, or your snowboarders, whatever. And once you get off the lift, it's going to be what is the highest lifted point in Australia as well. So you'll be able to check out views over the Mount Kosciuszko main range to Guthiga and Blue Cow. And yeah.
Lovely.
So that's a plus, isn't it, for skiers? Now, also, Mount Hotham is introducing a new terrain park zone, which is in Victoria, what they call the Big D, which sits between Hotham's village and Dinner Plain, which is a suburb of Victoria, Dinner Plain, which is a snow resort area. So formerly it was a kids' snow sports school and learning area, but it's now all about progression forward with jump lines, multiple lines of rails, some terrain-based features to keep the younger, I guess, more adventurous of us busy. And so that new park will also introduce skiing and boarding on Wednesday and Saturday nights. And, yeah, so you're going to have all sorts of things now in this terrain park, so more opportunities for those to slide, glide, jump, grind, whatever they want to do. So that's Hotham. Threadbow, well, we all know Threadbow. I guess it's one of our more renowned and well-known ski resorts in Australia. They've introduced a youth development backcountry tour for 15 to 18-year-olds, which is going to upskill them under expert in guidance and how to be safe in the backcountry. So that's a good idea.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Because you have people do get lost and do get confused, when you're just surrounded by white, I suppose. It's pretty easy.
You're not familiar with the area.
No. And so for stargazers, there's also a free astronomy night with astronomers from Mount Stromlo Observatory pointing out your stars and galaxies right there from Threadbow, which will be fantastic. And also there's multiple live music options at the Threadbow Alpine Hotel as well. So, yeah, one heck of a holiday type destination for skiers. And New Zealand, we're just ducking across the ditch for a bit, Cardrona. Now, it's located between Queensland and Wanaka in the South Island. The biggest news is this winter it's opening 150 hectares of new terrain. So that means that Cardrona, and the locals call it Cardies, that means cardigans. that's what I call a cardi.
Yeah.
Will be the biggest ski resort across the ditch with a total of 614 hectares of slopes for skiers and snowboarders to tackle. And they've also got a new six-seater chairlift so that you can get up easier to the runs. We make it easy access to everywhere. So there you go. So there's a lot of new things happening at the ski resort, some improvements made. And let's just hope it's a good winter for snow this year. And not to forget, last but not least, people forget that Tassie also has ski fields.
Oh, Tassie. I love Tassie.
I know. Hey, direct flights.
Excellent.
Newcastle Hobart starting, I think, the 26th or 28th of September.
Fantastic. That's
please support all these direct flights, by the way, newies out there, our Novocastrians, please. We've had new flights start in the past that haven't continued because of lack of people supporting. We've got our Newcastle-Perth direct flights happening from September as well, three times a week, plus your Tassie ones. So please get out there now because really it's a hell of a lot better than the M1 and getting to Sydney. So, yep, I'm so excited about these direct flights. But anyway, Tassie. So we'll be able to go, yes, on direct flights to Tassie. Now, not for this ski season, unfortunately, because these aren't starting till the end of September. But look, we know what Cradle Mountain is. It's just a winter wonderland in itself. And Mount Field, look, it's only just outside Hobart. And you've got the most beautiful place there when you've got your waterfall framed by ice. I mean, it's a gorgeous national park. And of course, Mount Wellington's right in town and you have snow there as well. So you're going to get to see snow. Leah Winnie, if it's pronounced that way, I hadn't heard of it till recently. There was an article on it in the travel supplement. And it's as Tasmania's coldest town. I don't know whether I want to go there.
Yeah, that sounds cold.
Oh, it sounds really cold. So it's in the Central Highlands where temperatures often drop well below zero, but apparently it's perfect for spotting Tasmanian wildlife, including wombats and wallabies as well.
Well, just layer up. Layer up.
Layer up, yeah. And you get back, wherever you're staying, it's going to have a lovely fire happening.
That's right.
A nice mulled wine or something to warm you on the inside as well.
Sounds
hey,
good.
What could be better?
Yeah, layer up and harden up.
Yeah. You tell them, Amanda.
That's right. And it's Talking Travel with Sally Lucas. And we're talking about white Christmases.
And I think a lot of people, I guess, conjure up an image of having a white Christmas, because it's not something we ever can have, obviously, in the Southern Hemisphere. Well, certainly not our part of the Southern Hemisphere anyway. But the thing is, it's not always snowing at Christmas time, people got to remember. It's the first month of winter. Switzerland, yes, you'd be guaranteed snow there just about, you know, any time around then it would be okay. So you might not get a white Christmas if you go for Christmas, but you will still get all the markets and all the other paraphernalia that goes on that the Europeans love. And you've also got to remember that they celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve is the main celebration and the dinner. Things and everything will be shut on Christmas Day, but their actual celebration is Christmas Eve. So keep that in mind.
Where's that?
In Europe, just about everywhere in Europe. Yeah,
okay.
In most countries, it's Christmas Eve.
Okay, in the UK, when I grew up there, we used to just have it on Christmas Day.
UK
but I guess it just depends.
UK is different.
Yeah.
And we follow them.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know. I think the French should have French did so much here. We've got so many places in Australia that are French. And I keep wishing, because you know me and how much I love French, I wish we'd been discovered by French instead of Captain Cook.
Oh, okay.
Nothing against the Poms, but that's all right. Nothing against anyone, for that matter. But
we digress.
Yeah, we digress. So anyway, if you're thinking of doing Christmas too, also like any of the major cities are going to be really busy. So you can't forget you've got all your little smaller villages that are still going to have their own celebrations. So think a little bit outside the square occasionally and not just go to all the major towns is what I'm saying. And planning early. Like you've got to remember, like Christmas time here and also summer here is our time. But for them, well, summer, Christmas is their peak time because they do a lot of things at Christmas. They have so many things happening. So you would need to be booking at least by now if you're thinking of Christmas this year or have booked, because there will be, you know, sometimes a shortage of accommodation where you want to stay, particularly if you want to stay in a resort-style ski property or, you know what I mean? So early planning is essential. And some of the places, like, for example, I was reading one the other day, Gouda, where the famous, of course, cheese comes from in the Netherlands, they have a candlelight night and everyone opens their windows and leaves a single candle to burn in the window all night. And about 1,500 flickering candles illuminate the windows of their town hall, and then they serve glue wine in the main square. So, you know, all these interesting...
That sounds amazing, but I don't think I could cope with that, just leaving a flame going all night. I'd be worried the house would burn down.
I'm sure they'd have it sitting in something suitable that the wax would be dripping into a container.
Not an electric candle?
No, it's got to be a flickering real candle.
That gives me anxiety.
Oh, well, don't you go there. Then you can go somewhere else. Well, you can go to another place called Deventer, which goes for full theatre. They have 950 costumed locals transforming the historic location into a village from Charles Dickens stories.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
So you like that one? So it began in 1991 as a dress-up party to counteract limited sales by a bookseller. And it's now considered the world's largest Dickens festival. So there you go. You might even get Ebenezer Scrooge and Bob Cratchit.
There you go.
And the Ghosts
Oliver
of
Twist.
Marley, Mr. Pickwick and Oliver. Yes, all of those. And apparently it's held over 2 days and it attracts more than 125,000 people from across the Netherlands. So mainly Dutch people know about it, but we don't. So, you know, there's lots of these things that you can go out there and start finding. And if you go to Italy, of course, their main focus is on nativity, because it's very much for them about the religious festival. Very much so. So you'll always have all these nativity little sets for sale and all those sorts of things. And also in that old township of Matera, which is, they all used to live in caves, they do an incredible live version of a nativity play there, which apparently is exceptional as well. So there's lots you can do. But again, plan early. That's the main thing. And if you're really in search of Santa, of course, you can go to Finnish Lapland if you could bear the cold. I believe it gets to minus 40.
Oh, that would be, that is cold. That's very cold. Layer up and harden up.
Again, really hard. Well, apparently you do get very hard. I spoke to someone who once met and they couldn't, she couldn't feel a face for days. Yeah. It was frozen, solid almost. So you can always do that and get the Santa experience as well. And don't forget, you've got Canada. And if you want a French style one, you go to Quebec and they have lovely markets and everything there. Or the Capilano Suspension Bridge in Vancouver, they have this incredible light display on it. Or you go across to Victoria Island and the Butchart Gardens has this wonderful winterland display. So there's lots of lovely places you can go to, even if it's not snowing. But if you want it to be definitely guaranteed a white anyway holiday, snow holiday, you're probably better to go like January into February. And then you've had the build-up of all the snow and you're really going to get that really white, you know, snow Christmassy effect, even if it's after Christmas.
It sounds like a Christmas movie.
Yeah, absolutely. what was that one called? The Something Express?
The Polar
Tom
Express,
Hanks?
Yes. Yes.
The
yes.
Polar Express.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about something else then. I forgot we're doing talking travel.
We are actually doing talking travel.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
it's been a long day.
We've been digressing today, but that's
been.
All right.
We have. It's talking travel and we're talking hot deals now, Sal.
We are indeed. And I have got one here. It's Canada. Christmas in Canada, seeing as we were talking a bit Christmassy today. So there's a lot of lovely little holidays here where you can save up to $1,000 per couple. One's just called the 12 Days of Christmas, which is a tour from Vancouver to Calgary. So you're going to travel through beautiful, all that area, as you can understand, around Banff, Lake Louise. You know what it's like.
Oh, I've been there. I highly recommend.
Isn't it stunning?
It is amazing.
It's just stunning. So, I mean, I didn't do it in the middle of snow time, of course, but actually I was there in September in Banff and it snowed.
I feel like it snows a lot in Canada.
You know.
It was cold 9 months of the year.
my doctor, he's Canadian. I said, what made you come to Australia? It's so beautiful there. He said, the weather. So that's what you're saying. He said, people don't realise, he said, how much rain or snow or everything that we get.
Yeah.
So it was the promise of sunshine
here
that brought him here. But anyway, so you can do all sorts of things like doing lovely sleigh rides along lakeside trails, going to Vancouver, Whistler, Jasper, Lake Louise, and, of course, finally Banff, where you'll have a magical Christmas day. That's departing 16th of December this year. And there's another one doing calling Castles and Festive Winter Wonderland from Victoria to Calgary. So that way you're going to get that beautiful Victoria Island into it as well. A couple of lovely itineraries if you're still hankering to get away for Christmas. Now, also completely different, do you want to crave a sunny escape on these cold mornings?
Yes.
How about Spain, Portugal and Morocco?
Yes, please.
Nibbling on Lisbon's famous custard tart. I mean, you should taste them once you get to Lisbon. I mean, a Portuguese tart when you're in Portugal, I can assure you, oh, my God, it is just magnificent.
I'd take any tart at the moment because I've had lunch. So
I won't say anything else. So, yes, but this one is really great because you can immerse yourself in culture, history and, of course, cuisine, not just of Portugal but Spain and Morocco. So you can imagine your taste buds are going to be going mad.
Mm.
And also you go to a place called Chef Chaouen, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, which is a blue, it's all painted blue, this little town in Morocco. It was all blue and it was done for a reason which I can't quite remember, but I'm sure if you Googled it, you'd find out.
Maybe the Smurfs live there.
It had something to do with, I think, the Jewish society, but I can't remember. It's chef as in chef, then Chaouen, Chef Chaouen. And it's this beautiful little village, but you go to Tangier, Meknes, Marrakesh, Casablanca. Of course, you're going to Porto, Coimbra, Sintra, Lisbon, all in Portugal, Barcelona, Valencia, Salamanca, Madrid, Granada, which is amazing, Sevilla, Tangier. Great itinerary, really, really good itinerary. And this is small group touring again that we know we love, which has only got, you know, maximum of up to 16 people. So that's really, really great to do. And also, if you're thinking a little bit more adventurous, how about doing a nice little Kruger to Cape Town safari where you can see all those wonderful animals?
That'd be beautiful.
And that is beautiful too. Everything we do is beautiful
here. It's all beautiful.
It's all beautiful. It doesn't matter which one you pick, it's all going to be beautiful. And this is, again, as a group size with only a maximum of 12, which is great. And it's everything all included in this. So it's all your airfares, everything, even tips prepaid. So you're not worried. No hidden extras as well. And that's same with your Moroccan tour as well. It's with Bunnik Tours. And a Hurtigruten, Mark, just for you. They've got a lovely itinerary going all around Alaska. This is at 130th anniversary offer. If you book by 30 June, they've got exclusive free suite upgrades and at exclusive prices. So book by 30 June and you'll get a really good deal on any of their Alaskan itineraries. So there's quite a lot there, I think, to choose from.
Yeah,
a
lot
of different areas. And I just thought we might just finish up. I love some of these travel quotes, and I haven't done any for a long time.
Go for it.
So this is one by Robert Louis Stevenson. I travel not to go anywhere but to go. I travel for travel's sake. The great affair is to move.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is.
Great. Every exit is an entry to somewhere else. That was Tom Stoppard. Travel makes one modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world.
That is true.
Eh? I like this one. Work, travel, save, repeat.
Exactly.
The most beautiful thing in the world is, of course, the world itself. And it certainly is. Doing what you like is freedom. Liking what you do is happiness.
100%.
So there you go. How's that?
That's great. Everyone feels good now.
Yep. Feel good time.
A feel good Friday.
Yes, absolutely. SGF.
Sally Lucas, thank you very much. We'll catch you next week for Talking Travel on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.